Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Do I have a show for you today? Good morning. I'm smelling spring in the air. It's just February. Tomorrow's Groundhog Day. What kind of spring will we have? Medicine in the temple. Medicine in the temple. How doctors practiced a long, long time ago. This was before you even called them doctors. There wasn't much difference between doctor, teacher, and priest at one time. For good reasons, for bad reasons, for right reasons, for wrong reasons. We delineate between the three. But really, they're all in one. We have to get that one straight. Or no cigar. You don't heal unless your doctor's a teacher, unless your doctor's a doctor, and unless your doctor's a priest. Now, that's verboten. That has nothing to do with medicine today. Has very little to do with holistic medicine today. But nonetheless, as I will argue, or lay down a construct for the statement, you'll see why your doctor is, in a sense, what modern man calls a priest. Really, modern man should change its vernacular. We understood this at one time. A long time ago, there were only teachers, not doctors. You didn't really call them doctors. And before you could teach, before you could be a doctor, you studied 20 years. You didn't study 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. You studied a good 20 years. Doctors then, teachers then, influenced the patient through their magnetic field. Now, you can call that the soul, or you can call, as biophysicians would today, people enamored of biophysics, biophysical medicine, you could call that the soul. But nonetheless, that's fundamentally the way doctors at one point, long, long time ago, understood the patient. In a sense, they didn't delineate diseases as clearly as we do. Perhaps they were less sophisticated, but you see, in a sense, they were much more sophisticated. Because in the end, things have come full circle. We can talk about a disease and its pathological process. We can stick a chemistry to it. We can stick a pharmaceutical drug or an herb to it. No different in the sense, in this sense. And ultimately, we can attempt to mitigate symptomology, but cure always takes us back to the electromagnetic plane. And the last 500 years of medicine, since we've exalted the scientific paradigm as we define it today, the last 500 years places the biochemical perspective as the optimal perspective. You see, this is changing. If you study medical history, it just takes an invention, it takes a technology, and it takes a few generations of the old school to just die off. I think it was Max Planck or Heisenberg, I can't remember, that said, we don't really convince anybody of anything in science. We just wait for the people who object to die. And the young ones, who are less biased and more open, they absorb truth. And that's what's going to happen. You have to understand that. Bigger, much bigger than genetic engineering, which is largely a biochemical paradigm, much bigger than that is the biophysics that began with Planck and Heisenberg and Einstein and the rest. I would include Tesla there. Well, we've just gone full circle, because a long, long time ago, that's the way we understood disease. Now, these doctors understood every dimension of medicine, including herbology. Only it was different. First of all, they grew their herbs and they cultivated their soil. Or they went out and at risk to their health because deep in nature, you are sometimes at risk to your health. They picked those herbs out in the forest on top of mountains. They developed relationships with those plants. I'll give you an example, cordyceps. Now, some of you know this is a supplement called adrenal complex or adrenovin. Cordyceps is an age-old remedy for many things. Cordyceps is the ground-up powder of a fungally infected caterpillar. And here's the story. A bird flies and defecates. And that defecation, the feces, drops onto the head of a caterpillar. This is in nature. And the feces in the bird contains a fungus. And that fungus parasitizes the head of the caterpillar. So the fungus eats the head of the caterpillar. The caterpillar dies. I think so does the fungus. I'm not sure. But at least the caterpillar dies. And that's what we grind up today and call cordyceps. Back in the 60s, China, communist China, their sprinters destroyed our American Olympians. No one could understand that. Chinese are not renowned for track and field. Not like the Americans. And they destroyed us. So the Americans needed to understand how. And what we found legally, this is okay to do. Their sprinters were eating large quantities, 15, 20, 30, 40 grams a day of raw cordyceps. We know cordyceps today as a wonderful tonic for the adrenal glands. My question to you is, how do you trek through a feces-ridden field in the soil, step on a caterpillar, let its parasitized head wedge between your toes, and figure out that this is a useful herb? Now, how do you do that? There's hundreds of examples like this. You have to understand the ecosystem or the full comprehensive picture of the herb, of the plant that you spend good money on. That plant lives in relationship to its habitat. It also lives in relationship to the person that uses it. I find no better example than cordyceps. And I find that a far cry from what you can purchase at GNC today, one of many fungally infected stores, in the sense that this relationship with a wild-crafted plant is gone. And we have all our rationalizations and excuses, but that's not the point of this show. Doctors work in offices today. I'll argue they would be more effective working in caves. Yes, I said caves. There are healers today, great ones. Hong Ni, Master Ni, original owner of the Yosan University in Santa Monica, one of our better acupuncture schools, trained in a cave. Christ resurrected from a cave. Ignatius Loyola, founder of the Jesuit order, transformed himself from a Spanish playboy into the sacred order of the Jesuits by purifying himself in a cave. Point is, the place you heal, the place you transform, the place, the location is significant. The place where the doctor works is significant. Oh, I'll just go rent an office on that side street in town and open my place because the rent is reasonable. That's not a good attitude. That doesn't work. A doctor well-trained, a healer well-trained, a teacher well-trained, a priest well-trained, someone destined to engage in a healing journey, selects his own cave in every sense of the word, as I just described. Modern man, what you learn in chiropractic school, in acupuncture school, in medical school, we don't even have a word to describe the ancient doctor. These men were scientists, as well as priests. And scientists because that construct was precise. If you say this today, if you make the claim that Paracelsus was a scientist, If you make the claim that Avicenna, that Galen, that Hippocrates, that Pythagoras, if you make the claim that hordes of healers from long ago operating at specially constructed sites with special geometries and special craftsmanship were scientists, man today will laugh at that. Where's the research? Where's the... You understand that that's the beast? Anytime some 60-foot-tall ignoramus in a white suit says to you, where's the research? You're listening to the devil. You're listening to an idiot. There are no scientists today. Inventor. Back to Tesla, to Einstein, to Da Vinci. There are no real thinking scientists today that would ever say that to you. The real scientists, the one that exists today, would never wrap their arms in a condescending manner and ask you to produce the research. That's not how science evolves. These doctors of old, these ancient scientists, were scientists because their construct was precise. There were no holes in their game plan, as I'll elaborate on. You have to understand that. We're being given a very myopic view of health today. I spend my days, as do many, trying to expand that myopia. But then that myopia is reinforced continually, continually, and continually. Even our holistic practitioners have drank too much of the Kool-Aid. So you, yes, you, are you using herbs that have been grown in their own habitat? Plucked wild from their ecosystem? And then persuaded to bestow upon you their pharmacological gifts? Yeah, it's exactly like that. We call that the processing of the herb. At least we have Dr. Marshall. At least we have that company. At least we can trust that. I certainly do. It's perhaps one of the few reasons I'll even still use an herb. I don't have time to go pluck it from a mountainside. Perhaps neither do you. But perhaps we should think about that. The person or patient or client or colleague or king who ingests the herb at the suggestion of the doctor is subject to the fancy of the herb. If the herb does not like you, it will not work for you. You must work for it. You do not say, oh, that herb, it didn't work for me. You think you can say that. Now, the question more often than not is, did you work for the herb? Now, you don't know what that means. You should. It's our failure that you don't. But in truth, the job of the physician is to temper the patient, condition the patient, so that the patient can receive the benefit of the herb. You want science behind that? Okay. Rishi, Ling Shi. Rishi immune, as some of you know it. Red Rishi, hopefully. There's black Rishi, yellow Rishi, red Rishi. Good Rishi. It doesn't even work. Certainly it doesn't work well. Certainly it doesn't give you a true bang for the buck if your interstitial fluid is not alkaline. Your pHs have to work before certain herbs work. There's an example. There's an example of, oh, the Rishi didn't work for me. No, the Rishi didn't work because you didn't work for the Rishi. You have to reverse your thinking about this. Consider this, second piece of science. Herbs do not work in a sympathetic, dominant body. You understand that. If you're new to the show and you don't understand that, check any of my shows, straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici.